love to pray with you. Well, this morning, sorry, you're getting a lot of Tyler today, that's okay, I hope, because Todd will be back next week, and I'll disappear in the over to my side, except you'll hear my kids a lot over here, but Todd is out today, and so I get the opportunity to be able to share some with you today. As we mentioned earlier, today is our celebration of marriage. So we are going to talk about marriage some, but don't worry. And if you're like, well, I'm not married, or maybe your spouse has died, or maybe you've been divorced, and that I'm hoping what we talk about today will hit all seasons of life, young, old, divorced, widowed, it doesn't matter. We're hoping that we hit all, and that you will be able to take something away from this morning. We're going to be talking more about the word love, and specifically loved first, right? And that God has loved us first, and then that portrays out into the rest of our lives. I think Anthony stole some of my notes earlier as he was talking about Valentine's Day and love is in the air, and it has been in the air this week, and I've seen many of you post pictures of dates you've been on, or your kids getting little Valentines at school, or getting to dress up this week. We have seen love in the air. We've seen gifts passed around. But I also know for some, Valentine's Day can be difficult for all different reasons. It can be difficult because if you've lost a spouse recently, it can be a difficult time remembering your spouse. It can also be difficult if you are single and haven't been married and trying to figure out your way. That's a difficult time as well. And for all of us, I feel like it can change at different times. My Valentine's Day is totally different than it was 8 years ago when I moved to Park Avenue. And it's even more different than it was 5 years ago when Alyssa and I got married. It changes. The way things change and how we view love, even to the point of trying to understand it, somewhat changes. And love, because love is an interesting word, and how it changes our life and is part of our life. And the hard part about love is we use it for everything. We use love for so many different meanings. And sometimes I even think with Valentine's Day, it kind of gets watered down because of how it is portrayed. But let's see if you can tell the difference here. Play a little game to start off with. See if you can tell which love means the most to Tyler. And I don't need you to shout it out. I just want you to think and guess. And it's not the first one, I promise, even though some in the room might hopefully would agree with me, but I love OU football. All right. Or I love Alyssa. I love a good TV show. I love my kids. I love tacos. I love this weather. Not maybe what we had yesterday, but this last week. Which one is a true love? A strong love? Or which ones are more of a like? You might be thinking the same yourself. You might say the very similar things. I love this or I love that. And we say to our spouses, or we say it to our loved ones, does it carry the same weight? Is there the same weight in there? We've stretched the word so thin at times, it hardly means anything at all. And we continue to water it down. And its meaning continues to even confuse people. Also make us not fully know or feel what love is. We start to question it. We start to question, what is love? What am I feeling here? You know, even in the ancient Greek, they tried to categorize it a little bit. They had a lot of different terms for love. They were trying to figure it out and trying to say, okay, well, let's give different loves different names. Maybe that's what we need to do so we don't water down the word love. But you can see there's different words for love up here. And I have summarized the sides, and so if you want to go a little bit deeper into what some of the Greek words for love means, you can go a little deeper on that on your own time. But I wanted to at least show that they at least tried. They've got 8 different ones. They tried to give some different words so that we didn't water down one word. And yet, even with all these categories, we still struggle to understand what love really is. When we're dating, we wonder, is this love? Are these butterflies from romance or the Taco Bell I ate last night? And then sometimes in marriage, we even hear, well, we just fell out of love. You've heard it before. Maybe you even thought it. I questioned, well, did we fall out of love? Or is there something deeper that started to fade? Again, trying to understand what this word love means. Maybe as we say, well, did we fall out of love? Did we lose commitment? Or did our sacrifice for each other start to fade? Did our intentionality kind of be questioned, and we start to not be as intentional? And that can come in all aspects of things. And I realize leaning a little bit to the romantic side, but this also just deals with love in general, love for other people as well, with our close friends, with our family members. How we let love fade at times, we could start to question and say, oh, did we put in the work here? So this morning, we're going to dig a little deeper. And we're going to start off with God's love is the source of all love. Right? Love does not originate in romance or attraction or compatibility. It originates from the actual character of our God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." God doesn't just show love. He doesn't just feel love. He is love. God is love. And that means every true expression of love finds its source in and from him. Before anyone in here is a husband or a wife, before anyone is single or dating or widowed, you are first and foremost a beloved child of God. He created us. And not only created us, but created us in his image. And that's love. You want to talk about truly loving someone, you make them after you. Because we're pretty good at loving ourselves. And this is just part of God's show for us and how he loves us. Here's where we often go wrong. When we misunderstand God's love. We ask others, whether it's our spouses, whether it's our friends, our parents, or even people of the church, to do what only God can do. We expect them to complete us, to heal our wounds, fill every emotional void, to be our Savior. But no human being can carry that kind of weight. Even though we realize that, hey, we can't do that, or they can't do that, they can't carry that type of weight, I don't know about you, but it hasn't stopped me from putting that weight on other people and saying, well, I expect them to, or they should be able to. And then sometimes we just unknowingly do it, and we just start putting things on people that they shouldn't be carried, because who should carry it? Only Christ can carry that kind of weight. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, I apologize, this all looked way bigger when I was creating these, so, you know, I hope you have your 2020 vision on today and ready to see a little farther. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you and me. Notice what Paul is saying here about Jesus. He loved you at your worst. Not when you had it all together. Not when you were easy to love. I know, we're all easy to love in here, right? I mean, we're just perfect. I'm sorry, I'm speaking to the wrong people in here, right? No. We all have those difficult times. We all have sin in our life, and he loved us. Knowing this should change how we see love in every relationship. If we don't drink deeply from the love of God, we will constantly feel unloved. Whether it's in a good relationship, whether it's even in a good, great marriage, if we continue to put things on them that they aren't supposed to be the ones carrying, it's going to continue to feel that mistakes and feel that pressure and feel unloved. But when we are rooted in God, and in his love, it overflows. It begins to show in every aspect of our life. Second part, God's love shapes our marriages. Biblical marriage is not built on feelings. It is built on sacrificial love. Feelings are great until they're not, because they're fragile. They go up and down. They rise and they fall. Come to our house for even just dinner. 5 o'clock, come to our house. I'm inviting you, come over. Come see the different feelings that are happening in the Cope house. And I'm not just talking about Alyssa and I, because those are strong enough. But our kids, their emotions, their feelings go up and down. And as many of you have experienced this, those that are parents, you've experienced the time when Alyssa and I have reached the point with our kids, I am not your friend anymore, is what they say to us. Or, I don't love you anymore. Those moments are unfortunate, but it shows how emotions change in our life. Daily, minute by minute. And those emotions affect so many things. And our kids' emotions affect Alyssa and I's emotions. They affect how we see the day, affect how we are communicating to them, affect how we communicate to each other. And you probably feel that as well in your own lives. Our house is a constant roller coaster of emotions. Maybe yours is as well, that you feel different things. Or it's not how your spouse has said something to you, or your kids have said something to you. Maybe it's you've seen something on TV that has changed your emotion for the day. Or you had a bad experience at Chick-fil-A because, you know, we talked about it last time, they changed ownerships up here and they got your order wrong. And your emotions went a little haywire because you got upset because they didn't include as many nuggets as you really wanted. Our emotions can go up and down. So think about that in our marriages. That if we're relying on our emotions to be the ones that is holding things together, we're in trouble. Well, I just love her so much, and it's great because everything's perfect. Or man, he just serves me so well. We got to get to a deeper love, a covenant, sacrificial love that is deeper. It has roots. It doesn't waver in the wind. I think about those little, we call them silly men at our house, those little things that businesses have. We don't want a love that wavers and goes back and forth or up and down or loop-de-loop like a roller coaster. We want a love that is solid and deep-rooted. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." How did Christ love the church? Sacrificially, patiently, faithfully, forgivingly. I don't know if that's a word, but I needed another Lee in there, so we added it. And wives are called to respect and partner in that same Christ-like love. Marriage is not about perfection. It's about reflecting Christ to each other. Not by never messing up, because we're going to mess up, but by owning your mistakes, offering forgiveness, persevering when it gets hard. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." That's not butterflies. That is work. The Spirit formed godly, Christ-like character that He wants us to have. That is what that is. Once heard a couple married over 50 years say, "We never fell out of love. We just kept choosing it." And that's it. And I bet if we interviewed the couples that we had up on the screen today, I would love to. I'd love if we had a little panel of them up here just to share some wisdom. Share some wisdom of how they have made it the amount of years that they have. And they would probably say, "Well, we didn't water down love. That nips didn't make it to 70 years by watering down their love. But they were rooted in a deeper love, a love that only comes from God. Love is not just something you fall into. It's something that we have to walk in. And here's the bigger picture. Marriage is a signpost pointing to a greater reality. Our relationship with Jesus is what it should point to. Marriage is not the destination. It should point beyond itself to Christ's love for the church. Your marriage is preaching a sermon every day. And we could stop there and say, it's not just your marriage. And we're going to talk about singleness in just a second. But our lives are preaching a sermon every single day. And it's preaching either about Christ's love for us and his faithfulness or about a self-centeredness. And that's humbling. Because I might be up here preaching, but I'm preaching to myself. I'm hearing these words. So the next part is God's love sustains singleness. See, those that maybe aren't married right now, you started thinking, "Well, I get out of this one. I don't have to get." No, I'm sorry. You're in. We're in it. All right. Let's talk about singleness. In church culture, sometimes we unintentionally treat singleness like a waiting room. And I also hear that there might be some in here that have never been married. There's some in here that are hoping to be married, or some in here that maybe are divorced, or that you are widowed. But you're still in this singleness aspect. Maybe you're not looking to get married, but you still feel that, like, I don't know where I fit in, maybe. So I hope this part is encouraging to you. Up until about 5 years ago, I was a minister for 12 years, single, in a couple different churches. And you want to talk about some fun. I could tell you some stories about some conversations from different people of trying to make sure I wasn't single forever. Right? And there was a point where I was like, well, maybe it's okay. Like, I'm good. But I had a lot of mamas throughout the years that said, Tyler, we're going to find you a wife. It's okay. We're good. They had the best interests. But they can also put some pressure on us of like, well, but am I not enough? Is my single, like me being single not okay? I was even rejected for some jobs because I was single. Those are fun letters to get. You're not married, sorry. That happened more than one time. But here's the thing. Scripture doesn't discount singleness. Because we're still rooted in the same love of God. Jesus, the most complete, fulfilled human to ever live, was single. The Apostle Paul was single. Hear what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says, I would like you to be free from concern. Unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and in spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. We're not going to dig too much into that because we'll be here forever if we try to fully understand and get everything Paul is saying there. But I do want us to hear this about singleness. It is not a problem to fix. Whatever reason you are single for, it's not a problem to fix. It is a calling to honor. It offers unique freedom. Freedom to serve. Freedom to go. Freedom to focus. And freedom to devote. I've seen single men and women in church mentor kids, serve tirelessly, show up for hospital visits, lead ministries, and live with powerful kingdom impact. And some of the strongest spiritual influences in my life have been single believers whose devotion was to Christ and undivided. They were rooted in God's love, and it poured out into all that they did and all that they do. If you are single, you are not incomplete. You are fully loved, fully called, fully useful in the kingdom of God because of his love. Fourth thing I want us to think about, we're getting close to the end. God's love forms one family. The church is not divided into married and single or all the other ways we could divide ourselves. We can be very divided if we wanted to be. But the church, one great thing about us, because of his love, we are united in Christ. Galatians 3 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, for you are all one in Jesus. We could even add in here, neither married or single or widowed. All right, we are all one family, the family of Christ. It's part of us to help unify that, to bring us together. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. And there are some that are married that are feeling pretty lonely right now. It's our family to help us not be lonely. The church should be a place where singles are not isolated, widows are not forgotten, marriages are supported, children are embraced. Spiritual family transcends marital status. God's love creates a community where no one walks alone. If someone feels alone here, Park Avenue, we have some work to do. We have a love to tap into and to share. I also want to share something that I was learning this week as I've been preparing. And I think it helps us as we're forming this family, as we're digging deeper into God's love. I recently came across a study from Center for Bible Engagement. And they did a study on Christians reading the Bible and trying to understand God more fully. And maybe you've seen some clips on this. They noticed that people who just read the Bible occasionally do not really see a change. Ones that maybe read once a week or twice a week, digging in the Word, they weren't really digging in the Word. They were just saying, oh, I read the Bible at least once a week. They didn't see much change. But those who were reading Scripture and digging into God's Word, trying to fully know Him and know Him more deeply, 4 or more days a week, they have a drastically different result. And this research place, they call it the power of four. Right? The power of four. 4 or more days in the Bible, being in God's Word, understanding His love, His will for us. Let's look at some of these results. It's a little harder for you to see, but you can go to the Center for Bible Engagement. You can see this graphic a little bit better. But just on the left side over here, those that were in the Word of God, fully trying to know Him more, they saw a 218% to 416% increase in sharing faith with others than those that are only reading one day a week or less. Charitable contributions. They saw the discipling for others out the roof. Memorizing Scripture growing. They also saw reduction in the middle right here, 14 to 60% reduction in thinking destructively about their self or others. So going down. Thinking unkindly about others, it was going down. Feeling spiritually stagnant, it was going down. Feeling like one can't please God started to go down. Loneliness was going down, and so on. Then you even see more reduction in other just risky behaviors. Amazing when we spend time in God's Word and fully start to feel His love and His presence in our life, things change. And it changes us, it changes our families, it changes our marriages, it changes all things about us. So the last part. Greatest love has come. Here's the big picture. Earthly marriage is temporary. Jesus said in Matthew 22:30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Marriage is beautiful, but it's not eternal. But Christ's marriage to the church and to His people is. Revelation 19:7 says, let us rejoice and exalt. Give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Every wedding, every anniversary, every covenant promise, they all point forward to that day. Our deepest longing is not ultimately for a spouse. It's for a union with Jesus. Augustine once said, our hearts are restless until they rest in You. That's true whether you're married 60 or 70 years or single, whether you're 26 and single or 56 or 70, doesn't matter. Our hearts are restless until we rest in Him. Both marriage and singleness are signposts pointing to the ultimate love story. And that love story is not butterflies. It's about a Savior who stretched out His arms on a cross and said, I choose you. So here's a question for you today. Are you rooted in the source of love? Because if we are deeply connected to Christ, our love will not run dry. But if we're not deeply connected to Him, it will. But if we abide in him, his love will shape every aspect of our life, marriages included. His love will sustain our singleness. His love will form us into one family. And his love will carry us all the way home. Today, if you need to be reminded that you are loved, not because of your relationship status, but because of the cross, that invitation is for you. The greatest love has come, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray together. God, what a love you have shown us, a love that is even hard for us to comprehend. And we misunderstand it too often. And we put pressures on other people to carry that weight. But Lord, we know it only comes from you. And you are the only one that carries that weight for us. So God, I pray, Lord, let your love change our life. And Lord, help us to dig deeper into knowing you and knowing your love fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. You are not a God created by human hand. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone.